What a great prayer time that we just shared with one another. Isn't that exciting to see the teams that are sent out? The teams that are already out even this week. I know that we have a group of middle schoolers that are in Colorado in the high country doing a work this week as well. So we want to continue to lift them up, as you saw in the video this morning with Brother Nick in that place. I find it interesting what we just prayed, the very first prayer for a group that we're sending out, is that in the midst of the busyness, that they wouldn't miss an opportunity to be able to see God and have a relationship with Him. Isn't that fascinating? That was one of the first things that we prayed. So I appreciate Ray doing that, unbeknownst to him, of where I was headed tonight. What a message this morning from Dr. Kelly, too. About running the race, running strong, doing what God has called us to do, being faithful to that very thing. And I love, as I was talking with Cindy Wallace earlier, that connection with us, with that heavenly host. It's just very, very powerful. And I want to encourage you tonight with a word. We're going to be looking eventually at Luke chapter 10. But with a word for us as believers, the Sunday night crowd. Thank you for being here. But the Sunday night crowd for us, who I believe are faithful in our service and our work to the Lord. But being able to keep all of that in balance, just like we prayed just a moment ago for this team that will be sent out. A couple of months ago, I had the opportunity, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to be able to visit some other churches. Back in March, after being here for 10 years, had the opportunity to travel around just a little bit, went to some churches in Texas and Arkansas and Lenexa, Kansas. And it was just a great thing, which I think more than anything makes that absence, makes the heart grow fonder, you know, where I was ready to get back home. And so that was a great thing. But really, really cool to be able to see the great work that the Lord is doing in so many different places. I find it interesting that in that time that was taken away to have some margin, some space to be able to reflect on what other churches are doing, things that we're doing here, but also just space to be able to take a deep breath. I find it interesting that at that very first service that I was a part of, in Springdale at the church at Pinnacle Hills, where Ronnie Floyd is the pastor. He's the president of the Southern Baptist Convention now. He unpacked a work by a contemporary pastor named Kevin DeYoung. And that book that he referenced is called Crazy Busy. Crazy Busy. And it's reference to us as believers, as Christians, that in our life, that it is often that we find ourselves crazy busy. Now think again, the group that's going on the trips, they are about to be busy beyond measure. And it has no relationship even to when the sun's coming up and going down. I mean, there's going to be jet lag and all kinds of stuff just running it wide open. But how are they going to find that margin to make sure that they're staying connected to the Lord? Listen to some of the reflections from the book. He actually spoke of Tim Chester's Christian's Guide to Busyness. So are you ready for some diagnostic questions tonight on a Sunday night? Here we go. Do you regularly work 30 minutes more than you're supposed to at work? Do you check work emails and phone messages at home? Has anyone ever said to you, I know you're busy, so I didn't want to bother you, but... Do your family or friends complain about not getting time with you? If you had an evening freed up, would you use it for work or something connected to your home? Do you often feel tired during the day and your neck and shoulders ache? Do you make use of any of the flexible working arrangements that your work provides? Do you pray with your children? Do you pray? Do you have a hobby? Do you eat with your family at least once a day? Listen, these are some of those kind of probing questions that make us stop and think to some degree about the busyness that's in our life. As a matter of fact, some of the pointed points that DeYoung made in his book were things like this. When we're frenzied, busied, we're more apt to impatience, to anxiety, to resentment, to irritability. It could be that most of us won't fight right now for next week's joy in tackling the symptoms of busyness today. Or listen to this, busyness is like sin. Kill it or it will be killing you. But here's probably the most painful statement that I saw in his read. busyness, it doesn't mean that you're faithful or a fruitful Christian, just that you're busy like everyone else. Brothers and sisters in Christ in this room tonight, I want to encourage us with doing what Bobby Kelly encouraged us with this morning, which is running the race hard, doing our part, and at the same time being able to keep some things in perspective, like, for example, balance. Running that race hard, going on the mission trip, but not missing those opportunities to be able to see God at work, to take those deep breaths with Him, even in a busyness like that. I think we should also keep in perspective that we're not talking about the opposite of busyness being laziness or sloth. Now, I do know this, that it could be at times, perhaps my own life, that procrastination or not taking care of things quickly or efficiently leads to busyness in the future. Man, I got to get this done because there's a rush to be able to get there to it. But also, it's not what we've heard is that word acedia, which is just kind of that mind-numbing waste of time, if you will, perhaps flipping the channels endlessly or surfing social media. No real point. Those times where you walk away from something just thinking, what just happened there? That was pointless. But a true time to be able to be refreshed, to be able to meet with the Lord. It could be in perspective, in relationship to our own busyness, that it's related to pride. I'm busy. I've got to stay busy because look at all the things that I'm doing. Look at what I'm involved in. Look at what the people need from me. They need me. There's things that I'm definitely tethered to. They can't make it without me. I'm sacrificing. It could be that a part of what we experience with our busyness is related to our own self-reliance. It's our American way. We're hard workers, right? Amen? Does anybody know what the motto of Oklahoma is? We have a state motto, by the way. Since you ask, labor omnia vincit, which is Latin for labor conquers all things. Labor conquers all things. I find that interesting. Keeping that in perspective that we really need to focus on Jesus and how He balanced life. He didn't tackle everything. He had a great balance with the Lord and His own walk with Him, the Father, and He did exactly precisely what the Father had for Him to do. My fear is that in our own busyness, it could be even in an unconscious busyness, that we suffer, our families suffer, the church suffers, even our mission that the Lord has for us suffers. So we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Through the end of that chapter. Very familiar passage, but I believe will shine the light on exactly what we're talking about tonight. Running our race, but running it in such a way that there is a balance. Listen to this passage. Now, as they were traveling along, Jesus and the disciples, He entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to His word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. And she came up to Him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. In studying this passage, I find it interesting that just before is a word about what to do as disciples going out and sharing the gospel. And just immediately before this story, this encounter, we see the story of the Good Samaritan, what we should be doing as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. And then just after this passage, we see another doing passage, which is how to pray. So it's sandwiched right in the middle of things that we should be doing, that we should be involved in. Yet in this very passage, we hear Jesus talk about the one thing. There is one thing which we need to make sure that we have a balance of in our walk with Him. Well, we see where they are in verse 38, but in verse 39, again, we see that Martha had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. I love how it says in other versions that she stayed there listening. But I love this one, that she settled down at the Lord's feet. You all are familiar with toddlers, right? You familiar with toddlers ever saying, hey, settle down, settle down, settle down. That's immediately what I thought of when I saw this particular rendition of this word, this way to be able to describe what Mary's doing. She settled down at the Lord's feet. It's interesting that this isn't the only time that we see Mary at the Lord's feet. She's at his feet here listening to him, to his word. She falls at his feet and shares her pain and her woe at the death of Lazarus. But then she also comes to his feet and pours out her heart to him in worship in John 12:3 in that time of anointing. Mary was at his feet now and again in the future as well. In verse 40 it says this, but Martha was distracted with all her preparations. And she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. Distracted, cumbered, busied, worried. I mean, she is stirred up. Recently, I was able to spend some time with a group of leaders in Atlanta. And one of the things that we talked about at this particular forum called Giant Leaders or Giant Worldwide is they talked about gears, that we all have gears in our life. And that others can actually recognize the gears that we find ourselves in. Like, for example, there should be a gear that I would have for my family, right? But those gears can kind of get mixed up with other things. And as a matter of fact, think of it this way, is that when you're in a gear with your family, have you ever experienced this kind of thing yourself, that you're aware of it, or perhaps with somebody else, that you get home to be with family and it's like this, and it's like, you know, it's that kind of thing where you're there physically, but are you there? No, there's not that connection. It's to be able to think, wow, I want to be able to have a relationship at this time. And even as I think about this passage in relationship to family, I think about how easy it is for us to be able to do that with the Lord as well. Those gears when we should be in His presence, reflecting with Him and speaking to Him, and we're distracted, perhaps by the phone, perhaps by other things, but certainly distracted by different gears in our life. Well, she comes in and disturbs him. Literally, one passage says that she burst in. Don't you mind? Don't you care? And then in verse 41, but the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things. I like these words, overly careful, troubled, bothered, fretting, fussing, anxious, bustling. Now think about the balance between Martha and Mary. Martha is about home preparations. Mary is about Jesus' teaching. Martha's about the task. Mary's about humility. Martha's about busyness. Mary's about learning. Martha's about being hurried. And Mary has truly found the way to be blessed. And finally, Jesus says this in verse 42. But only one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. I love another way that this is interpreted, is that she won't be dragged away. She can't be torn away from this very thing. Jesus says, look, I'm not going to let her be dragged away or torn away from this time. Here's the irony, is that Martha's preparing meal, right? She's making the dishes. She's preparing the portions for everybody to be able to experience there, be able to enjoy. And Jesus says in this, look, she has chosen the good part. She's chosen the best dish, the best portion. Listen, the scope of what we need to see happen is like this, Martha. And she, in the midst of all this buffet that you're preparing, she's chosen the best portion, the best dish, the best part of the meal. I know what we wrestle with it sometimes is that in doing the right thing, it may not look like we're doing much at all. Time to be able to be still, to be able to reflect with the Lord. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had a garage sale at our house. You ever notice how close the word garage is to garbage? But anyway, just one letter away. Anyway, we had experienced clutter, many things that had kind of built up over time. And so we knew that it was time to be able to move some things along. As a matter of fact, in our garage, you know, there were just big items, even furniture items, so that even getting to the car, you know, it was kind of one of those deals where I'm going to get around here to be able to get to something. And so we worked hard. Anybody, you've had a garage sale, right? Amen? Miserable. And there is a payoff, but still, is it worth it? And so we literally were working hard to prep it all, get it all ready to go, which my wife may even say I didn't do a whole lot, but still, getting things ready, preparing to go with everything, and literally move some things along so that now we're down to the essentials. We're able to navigate. We're able to do what we're supposed to do in the house and the garage because there are things that are moved out of the way. I think the same thing in my own personal life is, Lord, don't let me get cluttered up with things that keep me from being able to move in and out of my relationship with you. It's hard work. Even in preparing for this message, I find it interesting that this past week, and just kind of putting the final thoughts with it and in prayer time, I thought, you know what? I'm going to leave the office because there's the phone and it's not bad. As a matter of fact, I enjoy every moment, most moments of what comes my way. But there's a busy churn to it. It just has a momentum to it, which again, I enjoy. But for this, I wanted to be able to step out for just a moment, have some time to reflect. So I found a spot, which is the archway, which I think is just magnificent. It's just a great spot to be able to sit. Well, that particular day, there were some kids up of a church member, which is fantastic. They, by the way, Mom, if you know this is you, they were doing a great job. But they were coloring and singing and giggling and all this kind of stuff. And so I was thinking, okay, this may not be the best spot for me to be able to focus at this particular moment. But I was thinking, you know, I'm going to work to focus, Lord. And so, you know, beginning to marinate on some things. And then that's when this brain-numbing cement saw fired up upstairs, Brother James, in the remodel upstairs. And it's this, you know, just one of those things that just rattles your mind. And so I thought, you know, this just isn't absolutely working for me. And I'm reminded even with that, that for us, it takes effort, right? It takes effort to find those places to be able to focus in on the Lord, to be able to have time with Him, to listen to Him. We're moving towards that balance in our life. It's not about work or not work or work or worship or good or bad or right or wrong here. But it is for us to think of it as one says it this way. What we do with Christ is far more important than what we do for Christ. Am I bustling? Am I worried? Am I anxious? Am I so busy that I don't take time to spend with Him, even throughout the day? Martha, it's interesting that she's seen later in John 12, 1 and 2, where it says this, Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus has raised from the dead. So they made him supper there, and listen to this, Martha was serving. But Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table, and Mary comes in and anoints our Savior. But isn't it fascinating? No complaints, no difficulties. Mary's doing the work just as we should, but a balance within our life. In verse 42, we are reminded that one thing is necessary. One thing is necessary. Could it be that Jesus might have had in mind Psalm 27? The Lord is the light of my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries, my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp about me, my heart will not fear. Though war rise up against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. One thing I've asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. For in the day of trouble He will conceal me in His tabernacle. In the secret place of His tent He will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock, and now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me. And I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me or forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Don't deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Psalm 27:4. One thing I've asked from the Lord, and that shall I seek, that I may dwell in His house, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to meditate in His temple. Listen to how it reads in the Message. Psalm 27:4 and 5. I'm asking God for one thing, only one thing, to live with Him in His house my whole life long. I'll contemplate His beauty. I'll study at His feet. That's the only quiet, secure place in a noisy world. The perfect getaway, far from the buzz of traffic. May we tonight be reminded to clear away all that clutters our relationship with the Lord to the essentials. To do that one thing that Jesus is reminding us here, and that is to settle down, to contemplate the Lord's beauty, to study at His feet. We're dealing tonight with the one thing that Jesus reminds us of, which is to focus in on Him and our relationship with Him. But it could be that tonight that someone in this room has never asked that most important question. To you, who is Jesus? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus? And I would want you to settle that tonight. But for Christian brothers and sisters in this room, I do want you to consider that most important thing. Do you settle down in His presence? Do you listen to Him? Do you stop the busyness to meet with the Master? Let me ask you to bow your heads with me. Father, I thank You for the opportunity tonight to be able to focus in on Your Word, so clearly displayed with Mary and Martha, one concerned with so many things and the bustle of life, and even something very, very good in taking care of guests, but Lord, missing the opportunity to be able to spend time with You directly. I pray that for us in this room, Father, that follow You, that are disciples of You, Jesus, that we would be mindful, conscious of the busyness in our life that tears us from those moments to settle down at Your feet, to listen to You. God, to invest time in You and listening to how You want to guide our lives. God, so that we can know how to channel our energies, how to work, how to serve, what it is that You want us to do, Lord. Lord, again, we lift up these teams to You that they would have opportunity to be able to see You in magnificent ways, even in the midst of this work and this journey. God, I pray tonight if there are any in this room, while we're answering the question about the one thing that we do in listening to You, Lord Jesus, it could be that there's someone in this room who's never answered that question about their belief, their personal belief in You as the Christ, the living Lord. So I pray, Father, that they would answer that question tonight. Lord, we love You with all of our heart, and we thank You for this time to be able to focus in on the one thing with You. In Jesus' name, amen.